David Eagle's blog, read by David Eagle. Monday, February the 2nd, 2015. I should probably warn you that this blog reading may be a little bit more high octane than normal because I've just eaten an entire bar of 85% dark chocolate and I've really got the cocoa rush. And I go, what a crazy life that I lead here. So yes, I've had performance enhancing drugs. I've got a cocoa rush going on. This is called King Kong Revisited Part 1. Last September, I enjoyed a night with a drag queen, a horny teenager, a racist, and a bitter disabled bloke. No, it wasn't one of my legendary house parties. It was my first experience of the King Kong show at Manchester's Comedy Store. King Kong is an open mic comedy night where anyone can turn up at the door and perform. The maximum time you can perform for is 5 minutes, but rarely do people make it that long because three members of the audience are given red cards, which, when held up, sounds a gong, indicating the performer's dismissal. Last September's performance started well, but then after about 2 minutes I reached the section of the set that involved me spending some time setting up the joke. I was a little bit worried about this particular section beforehand, as the first 2 minutes were quite joke-heavy, but the next minute was essentially set up and no real punchline. I thought that the payoff would be worth the wait, but one of the card holders decided that the wait had gone on too long, and so held up their card. "One card!" cried the compere. It was at this point that my nerves got the better of me and paranoia set in. And rather than hearing the shout of "one card" from the compere, I instead assumed it to be someone in the audience shouting "wanker." Immediately, I began to become flustered, unsure of how to deal with this heckle, whether to ignore it and continue or to try and come up with a riposte. While my brain was busy thinking through this dilemma, my mouth was still generating sounds. Although given my mind's preoccupation, the sounds weren't really making much sense. It didn't take long for another of the card holders to lose faith, and the second card was raised, causing the compere to declare, "Two cards!" And as soon as I heard the compere's words, I realised my earlier mishearing. I never really got the chance to regain the situation, and the third card promptly followed, sounding the gong, heralding my departure after 3 minutes and 8 seconds on stage. That particular performance was only my second stand-up spot. My first was a year earlier at a comedy club in London. It was an odd introduction to the world of stand-up. There was only about 20 people assembled in the back room of a pub, and 12 of those people were performers. The compere opened the night in a rather dour fashion. "Well, thank you for coming along. Perhaps if there'd been a couple less of you, then we could have cut our losses and pulled the night, but I suppose technically there are enough people to try and make a night of it. As you may know, our numbers have been suffering considerably due to some bastards deciding to put on an open mic comedy night in the pub over the road, which is taking place as we speak and is completely free. Now, I make my living as a comedy promoter. I therefore charge a fee to punters. This is not a hobby. I am a professional promoter. My job hasn't exactly been secure since the credit crunch. And it certainly doesn't help when a group of hobbyist, hippie, student bastards put on an identical event for free. So, if you want to know where everyone is, they're all in the Dog and Duck over the road, enjoying free comedy. Ah, and the beer is better and cheaper as well." So, that's where they've all buggered off to. In fact, some of the performers here tonight are apparently buggering off immediately after their spot here, as they've apparently booked themselves into the Dog and Duck's night as well. Well, I suppose we'll just have to make the best of it. Two of three of the eight audience members laughed awkwardly at the compere's introduction, presumably believing it to be his act. But I knew he wasn't playing a character and that he was genuinely disgruntled, as I'd arrived at the venue earlier than the other acts and the audience members and had already heard this rant when I'd made the mistake of enthusiastically introducing myself and asking how he was. The remaining members of the audience met his words with silence and the occasional throat clear. The other performers didn't seem to be paying any heed to what he was saying, as they were instead gazing at their notes. I didn't have any notes, but I was making a mental note to maybe try the Dog and Duck next time. The night was hard going, It turned out that as well as losing its audience, the comedy night was also losing its performers. And therefore, the compere decided that we should all do 10 minutes rather than the originally agreed 5. All the acts seemed to be very inexperienced, and 10 minutes is a long time for a new comedian to do. As a result, the sets were very laboured and painful. The acts obviously hadn't developed 10 minutes of material, and so they employed methods for getting around this. For some of the comedians, this seemed to involve speaking twice as slowly, pausing for twice as long, or repeating lines again. Other performers decided to kill time by using the audience for inspiration, asking the stock comedian questions like, "What do you do for a living?" But because there were only 8 audience members, and because the comedians were too busy looking at their notes and not listening to each other's performances, the same audience members were often asked the same question 2 or 3 times by different performers. I was the last performer on that night, and by this time, all the other performers had buggered off, leaving me to end the night in style in front of 8 dishevelled audience members and a suicidal compere. I've performed to thousands of people. Last year I did over 100 gigs with the young'uns, but I felt extremely nervous and vulnerable when I rose to my feet to take the stage to speak in front of these 8 frazzled people. I made the decision to just talk without pause and keep on talking until the 10 minutes were up. If I didn't stop talking, then I wouldn't be able to hear the sound of 8 mentally battered people not laughing. So I opened my mouth and let the words flood out, with the aim of continuing until the 10 minutes had elapsed. But then I heard the sound of laughter, and I began to feel a bit more at home, and I actually had a rather enjoyable stand-up comedy debut. I think the audience might have been laughing through sheer relief that their ordeal was soon to be over. I was the harbinger of their blessed release from this place. Perhaps they were just happy that I was keeping myself to myself rather than asking them what they did for a living for the 10th time that night. And so I talked, and the audience laughed, and when the 10 minutes was up, they applauded. In fact, they all rose to their feet as one, meaning that my first ever stand-up gig got me a standing ovation, albeit from 8 exhausted people desperate to leave just in case the compere had any final thoughts he was planning on sharing. I decided it might be advisable for me to make a quick exit as well, given my final words before leaving the stage, which were, "And I'll see you all same time next week in the Dog and Duck." So, just like my first stand-up experience at the King Gong, I've spent far too long on the setup, and now this blog post has exceeded 1,000 words and I haven't even started talking about last night's King Gong. So I'll return tomorrow, when I'll discuss some of the other acts and then reveal to you how I fared.